1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. The ceasefire in Gaza holding. The temporary truce extended. The hope, the more hostages can be released. From Brussels, Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
I'm very pleased to see hostages returning home, coming back to be with their loved ones. And we're determined to continue that for as long as possible to bring as many people home as we possibly can.
The man accused of shooting three Palestinian college students in Vermont is held without bail after pleading not guilty. In what's being called India's biggest and toughest rescue operation, all of the 41 workers trapped in a collapsed mountain tunnel for 17 days are now out. Early this afternoon, a tribute service for the late former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. In hospice, her husband of 77 years, former President Jimmy Carter, determined to be there. This is ABC News.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In Interscholastic.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reports say former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to announce his plans to run for state Supreme Court Thursday. Schimmel was Wisconsin's Republican Attorney General for 4 years. Incumbent Ann Walsh Bradley has served 3 terms on the high court. The race could again tilt the court's ideological balance. As expected, this year's gun deer harvest in Wisconsin was lower than last year. The State Department of Natural Resources says the number of deer registered was more than 17% lower than last year and about 11% lower than the 5-year average. But wardens say it's evidence that earlier bow seasons are getting more popular.
Over half of our total deer hunting population in Wisconsin now also hunts with archery equipment.
Jeff Pritzel is the DNR's deer specialist. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Parents of children at Congdon Park Elementary School in Duluth are speaking out after a change they feel makes their children less safe. According to a Northern News Now report, school officials reported that it's been mandated that one of the main entrances to the building will now only have one set of locked doors instead of two. The mandate is already an existing policy at the district's other elementary schools, but parents are calling for the school to return to locking both sets of doors for safety. Former Republican Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to announce his candidacy for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Schimmel will run against Justice Ann Walsh Bradley in an attempt to flip the court's newly liberal majority back to a conservative majority. Justice Bradley is the longest-serving current justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and will be running for her 4th term after winning her last election by a 16-point margin. The election will be held in April of 2025. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God. Okay.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Badgers with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In college hoops, Wisconsin with a win in Madison, 71-49 over Western Illinois at 5-2. How's Wisconsin doing so far? Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we're getting there. I think we're a little more consistent, especially on the defensive end. I thought we were decent defensively tonight. It was the offensive rhythm that we just couldn't get a rhythm.
NFL, the Bears beat the Vikings without scoring a touchdown. Chicago winning 12-10. In Green Bay, the Packers getting ready to host the Chiefs. Jordan Love got his first start against them, his rookie season, when Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID. Green Bay lost 13-7. Matt LaFleur.
It was one of those deals where we came in, I think on Wednesday morning, we found out Aaron was going to be out and Jordan was going to be in. And we should have, instead of just riding with what we game planned, but we should have had a better plan in place for some of the potential issues that were going to come up.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast.
High of 26 this afternoon under overcast skies. South winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 20. High of 37 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 17.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody, along with Mr. Aaron Zomerins, our producer and engineer. Welcome to the show. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, November 28th. A bit of a winter chill in the air, Mr. Zomerins.
Most definitely. Actually, this morning, I got in my car to come here, got a text from Luke Mathers. I have a meeting with him every Tuesday morning, and he was like, hey, can we push our meeting back 15 minutes? I was like, sure thing. Started my car to get there for the original meeting time. And it's a good thing he asked for that delay because my gas pedal was frozen.
What?
And did not move.
Your gas pedal was frozen?
My gas pedal was frozen. I think there's some fluid in the cable or something. I'm going to have to look at that tonight because I don't want that to happen tomorrow.
That's a good thing. You do not want to have the gas. Well, so what did you do? Did you? I hope you didn't like try to start a fire or anything under the gas pedal.
No. I just warmed up the car, had it running for a little bit, and put it in drive. And you know how when you have your car in drive, it moves just a little bit on its own? And did that, put it into a sunny spot and waited about 10 minutes.
And just let the sun do
just
its
let it
thing.
Run and let the sun do its thing.
It seems dangerous, Mr. Zomerins.
Yeah, that's why I'm definitely going to take a look at that.
Well, I'm glad. And a good reminder, because yesterday we tried to remind people, get your car in good winter driving condition, including having your tires properly inflated.
Yes, that's a good one.
And I got to check that. I guess kind of antifreeze, although now when you get your oil changed, or I guess I don't do it myself, but some people do, make sure that you have everything ready to go for winter. It's that time of year. So, well, good. I'm glad you made it here. Glad you're with us, and glad each and every one of you are with us on this Tuesday as well. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, it will be our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, for a Tuesday edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke at 12:30. We're gonna go on some tangents with news, and we're also going to go on a little sports tangent. I'll let this go last week. He brought up this NBA in tournament thing, and he talked about the Bucks playing in the NBA in tournament. Now, I enjoy the NBA. I'm a Bucks fan. I'm a big Giannis fan. But
you gotta be.
Ain't gotta be. But I wouldn't say I am an enthusiastic follower of the NBA. It's never been my thing, partly because when I was growing up, the Bucks, you know, weren't very good. And also I think because it just seemed to me like just wait till the last 5 minutes. You know, because nothing really happens in the last 5 minutes of an NBA game. All of a sudden, boom, 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 they all start. They decide to play. And so you just wait until the end. I know that's not really the case, but I mean,
it feels like it sometimes. Just like with baseball, where the whole season, just wait for the last five games, which is, in baseball terms, the last 5 minutes.
Right, right. Where in college, I've always enjoyed. Well, I've just always, for the most part, maybe other than the Packers, I've always really enjoyed college athletics because of the amateur nature of it, meaning that they're not professional players, that they're doing it for the love of the game. That has now changed a little bit with name, image, and likeness deals, but
kind of unavoidable, I think.
I'm a big college basketball fan, so I love the tournament. I love following the Badgers. I enjoy following Marquette. And there's a big game coming up Saturday, by the way. We'll talk to Luke about that. Number three, I believe. Marquette now up to number three in the nation. Coach Shaka Smart has the Marquette Golden Eagles flying high. So the Badgers play Marquette this Saturday here in Madison in what will be a huge game for both teams. Probably more so for Wisconsin than Marquette. But we have a big test for Wisconsin to see if they can run with Marquette. And like I say, Marquette doing a great job. So, and we will have that game courtesy of the Wisconsin Badger Radio Network on Saturday. You can listen to it on the Civic Media app. So looking forward to that. So we'll talk to Luke about that. But we'll, I want him to explain to me this NBA in-tournament stuff.
I have no idea what that is.
It sounds like, here's Todd's take on it, which is probably totally wrong. My take is there isn't enough excitement in the NBA in November and December. So let's create a made-up tournament to get people more interested when what they really want to follow is college football and the early college basketball and see if we can peel off some of that.
You're probably right, and he's probably going to deny it.
I don't know. I don't want to put words into Luke's mouth, but anyway, well, it's always a good time talking to Luke Mathers at the bottom of the hour. And then in hour number two, we have today's edition of What's Worse, your chance to chime in and tell us what's worse on the two things that we'll give you. And we also are, and I know that As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinair and Greg Bach filling in for Krista Bry have, I think they did something similar a couple of weeks ago, talking about secondhand stores. But we have a piece from our friends at Cracked.com on the 34 oddest items ever found in like a thrift store or a secondhand store, asking you to call in later on in the show and tell us what is your oddest item that you've ever purchased or seen at a secondhand store. So all that coming up a little bit later on the show. We're also going to take a look at this bill in the Wisconsin State Legislature, a Senate committee, according to our friends at WisPolitics, a Senate committee will hear testimony today on legislation that would require public and school libraries to notify parents within 24 hours anytime their children under the age of 16 check out materials, which to me seems very Big Brotherish.
It does, and it seems kind of pointless, like unless it's a notification of, hey, your kid didn't check out any library books this month, they're probably not reading enough, we don't like that. That I could understand. But if it's like, your child checked out the fourth book in the Geronimo Stilton series,
right?
Like, who cares?
It's all very odd. I'm going to tell you why, as a former Republican, it's not very Republican. So anyway, that's coming up on the show. But first, at 13 past the hour of 12 noon, I want to start with things going on right now. And that is the memorial service for former First Lady of the United States, Rosalynn Carter. According to CNN, former presidents and first ladies occasionally hitch a ride on Air Force One for some national and international events, as the Clintons and former First Lady Michelle Obama did yesterday. The group is attending a memorial service for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter today in Atlanta. Former President George W. Bush and his wife, Laura, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, also a former First Lady, accompanied then President Barack Obama on the flight to South Africa for Nelson Mandela's funeral in 2013, for example. Former President Jimmy Carter himself was one of four presidents aboard the presidential jet headed to the funeral of King Hussein in Jordan in 1999. He was the guest of then sitting President Bill Clinton and ex-presidents George H.W. Bush and Gerald Ford. In 2016, Bill Clinton seemed to forget that one moment that he wasn't the big guy anymore when the then commander-in-chief appeared at the door of his plane and hollered to his Democratic predecessor to get aboard at the Tel Aviv airport after the funeral of former Israeli Prime Minister and President Shimon Peres. quote, Bill, let's go. Let's go home, Obama said, with a grin directed towards fellow two-termer, who is notoriously late for everything. You probably don't remember that, but Bill Clinton was always, not always, but famous, infamous for being late to things.
I've heard some stories from former Congressman Scott Klug about that causing some problems for him.
Yes, that's right. We should let him tell that story sometime. It was a White House event where families were involved, and Clinton was always late.
I mean, he made it right, though.
And then, I guess that's one thing I share with the former president. I'm often late. And it's never intentional. It's just whoever I'm with, whatever I'm doing, I try not to rush away. And then I end up being late for what I'm going to.
I definitely never do that. I am always super on time.
Yes. Yes, you are.
No.
So anyway, a private tribute service for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter taking place today at Glenn Memorial United Methodist Church at the Emory University campus in Atlanta, Georgia. The service will be exactly what she envisioned, according to her grandson, Jason Carter, adding that she designated, or rather designed, the program herself. Quote, we are doing exactly what she wanted at the service, Jason Carter said. She would have been amazed and gratified by the outpouring of love and support. Rosalynn Carter died peacefully in her Plains, Georgia home on November 19th at the age of 96. 2 days after the Carter Center announced she was entering hospice care at home. In May, the Carter Center said she had dementia. Rosalynn Carter and her husband, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, returned home to Plains, located about 120 miles south of Atlanta, after leaving the White House in 1981, and has lived there ever since. Jimmy Carter, who is now 99, began receiving hospice care in February after a series of hospital stays. It's going to be a last-minute decision, according to the Carter family, but former President Carter says that he plans to go to today's memorial service, but again, it'll be a last-minute decision on how he is feeling. I know we talked about this a little bit on the show when the news broke of the passing of Rosalynn Carter, but I thought it was appropriate just to take time today to again reflect on her life and the service that she and her husband have given to this country. And despite any differences or opinions that folks may have about politically former President Carter's time in the White House, I would find it hard-pressed to find anyone who could deny the good that they have done since leaving the White House, dedicated their lives to helping others, not just through their church, but particularly through Habitat for Humanity, the countless numbers of homes that they themselves helped build with their own two hands or raised money so that others could do that. They had a true effect in the world, the Carters did. And again, as we discussed before, in an age where several folks on the other side of the aisle like to talk about their Christian values and expose those to others, I don't believe that any other occupant of the White House, in modern times at least, espoused Christian values and actually lived them more than Rosalynn and Jimmy Carter have.
I'd have to agree.
So I thought it was appropriate today just to take a moment and again say thank you to Rosalynn Carter for all of her service to America, our condolences to former President Carter and to the entire Carter family. We're going to come back, tell you what's happening in the Wisconsin State Legislature, and then Luke Mathers joins us at 12:30. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tahoe Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach truly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday, November 28th. Mr. Zimmer's on the board. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, or just after there, we have our friend and colleague Luke Mathers in for Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Talk a little news, talk a little sports, and whatever tangent he wants to go down. So there you go.
As I said, I meet with him every Tuesday. He said he's got a couple of tangents lined up. I don't know what they are, but he has a couple.
All right, very good. I want to get to this. This is state news here across the state of Wisconsin, and I hope that everybody in the state is paying attention to this and taking note. According to WisPolitics, by the way, a great site if you haven't checked it out, WisPolitics.com. Jeff Mayers and the entire team at WisPolitics, one of the best news sources in the state of Wisconsin. WisPolitics, now a Senate committee, will hear testimony today on legislation that would require public and school libraries to notify parents within 24 hours anytime their children under the age of 16 check out materials. Under current law, custodial parents or guardians are allowed to request information on library records for their children under the age of 16. Otherwise, which I didn't know, by the way, I was not even aware that under state law currently that a parent could go in and say, what is my 15-year-old kid reading? Otherwise, library records that identify who borrows or uses library materials cannot be disclosed. So if the kid is 16 or older, 16 or 17, cannot find out what the child is reading. The Senate bill is Senate Bill 597, and it would require school boards to implement policies in which custodial parents or guardians of a student under the age of 16 are identified automatically about each document or material checked out from the library within 24 hours, which I find astounding on several different fronts. Number one, anybody who is familiar with public education at all understands how completely underfunded they are. How school, the state mandates that teachers and school districts deal with already, and the lack of financial support to enact those mandates is severely lacking. Number two, has anybody thought about the systems that would be required to install in every school and public library across the state?
I can answer that right now. No.
No, I don't think so. And look, there are a lot of public libraries. They're not all like the Madison Public Library, the Milwaukee Public Library, or Green Bay or Appleton, which are larger municipalities, larger tax bases. There are a lot of 5,000 population towns that have a small public library, 4,000 person towns. Are those village boards, are those city councils, do they have the funding to actually implement this? And secondarily, the irony that this is being proposed by Republicans in the legislature is just rich. Because I'm old enough to remember when something called the V chip came out. People of a certain age may remember the V, a V as in Victor, the V chip. And what this was a bill in Congress that would require TV manufacturers to install a V chip in a TV, which would limit what programs a child could watch on the television. At the time, in the 90s, I was working for former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, a Republican. And he was opposed to it. And he got some flack from folks. And he said, look, I can't even, this is how old this is. He said, look, I can't even program my VCR. My teenage boys, my 12 and 13 year old boys have to help me program the VCR. What makes you think that they can't figure out a V-chip? And also, for years, my former party, the Republican Party, which I left in 2011, the old adage was, well, you can't legislate parenting. Can't legislate parenting. We don't want government in our lives. Which, that part I actually agree with. I don't want government interfering in my life. And now fast forward from the 90s to 2023, and Republicans, who used to be the party of small government, that said we don't want Big Brother watching over us, we believe in freedom and independence, now the Republicans want your local school and public library to be in your kid's locker, to be in their bedrooms, to be at their desks. They want government to have a list of what your kids are reading. I don't want government knowing what anybody is reading, let alone my, you know, I have a niece that age, I guess. I guess she just turned 16, so she wouldn't quite qualify. But it's the irony, and again, it gives us evidence. It gives us proof that the Republican Party that I once belonged to no longer exists. These types of bills are not Republican. These types of bills are MAGA. A MAGA party who has let white Christian fundamentalist nationalism creep in and take over their party. And again, what do I mean by that? That is not, repeat, not an attack on Christian churches, Lutherans, Methodists, whatever, Catholic. Not an attack on that. I'm a person of faith. I'm talking about white Christian nationalist churches that believe that the United States government, state, local, and federal, should all be controlled by biblical doctrine. And that we should not be beholden to the state or national constitution. But first and foremost, the Christian Bible should be the rule of law in America. Which, of course, is contrary and contradictory to how the country was founded. Which said there will not be a national religion. So this is where we're at today. The Republican Party is dead and gone. This is the MAGA party who now wants to pass legislation to go into your lives and see what your kids are reading. About a minute left. Sorry, I was looking down at my computer. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Mark in the sack. Mark, you got about a minute before the break. Sorry, too. I'll cut you short here, but it's all yours. Go ahead.
Oh, not a problem. And it's interesting you're bringing this up today. I just saw a little headline today where Mike Johnson was schooling the media on that there really isn't a separation of church and state. It should be keeping the state out of religion, not religion out of the state. And which was remarkable to me, talking about all the founders. And what's remarkable to me, I just had gotten a copy of the Jefferson Bible, and which is Jefferson, you know, went through the Bible, cut and paste, and took out all the miracles, including the miracle of Jesus' birth, and, you know, compiled all his philosophy, his kind of a philosophical handbook. And for him to claim that these guys were all, you know, deeply religious men, they're, you know, Jefferson was accused of being an atheist. Right. I mean, they, you know, that it's time to get religion out of.
Mark, appreciate the call. Sorry, got to run back in for this. Luke Mathers on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The Tylenol Ball Show on Civic Media.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to run for state Supreme Court in 2025. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's term is coming up, and she said she plans to run again. Just like earlier this year, the 2025 race is expected to determine the court's ideological majority. Schimmel was the state's Republican Attorney General from 2015 to 2019. Bradley has served three terms on the high court. While you were relaxing over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, Wisconsin state troopers were busy. The state patrol says it issued about 600 speeding tickets and responded to 128 crashes between Wednesday and Sunday. State troopers gave out 591 speeding tickets and arrested 18 impaired drivers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what...
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Two Ashland residents were displaced and several others lost power after a two-story duplex fire over the weekend. The Ashland Fire Department responded to the fire around 9:30 on Friday night, fighting it from both inside and outside the building. After failing to extinguish the fire from the inside, XL Energy removed a power line to allow crews to access the roof, knocking power out to 17 nearby residences. No injuries were reported, and the Salvation Army provided the displaced residents with temporary housing. Felony charges have been dropped against a member of a Wisconsin school board who posted a photo of his marked ballot on Facebook in an April 2022 election. 52-year-old Paul Buzzle faced a maximum penalty of 3.5 years in prison and $10,000 in fines, but Judge Paul Malloy dismissed the charges on Monday. Judge Malloy ruled that the state law prohibiting voters from showing their marked ballots to anyone else violates the constitutional right to freedom of speech.
And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Badgers with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In college hoops, Wisconsin with a win in Madison, 71-49 over Western Illinois at 5-2. How's Wisconsin doing so far? Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we're getting there. I think we're a little more consistent, especially on the defensive end. I thought we were decent defensively tonight. It was the offensive rhythm that we just couldn't get a rhythm.
NFL, the Bears beat the Vikings without scoring a touchdown. Chicago winning 12-10. In Green Bay, the Packers getting ready to host the Chiefs. Jordan Love got his first start against them, his rookie season, when Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID. Green Bay lost 13-7. Matt LaFleur.
It was one of those deals where we came in, I think on Wednesday morning, we found out Aaron was going to be out and Jordan was going to be in. And we should have, instead of just riding with what we game planned, but we should have had a better plan in place for some of the potential issues that were going to come up.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. High of 26 this afternoon under overcast skies. South winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 20. High of 37 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 19.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Welcome back to the Telleball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 34 past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, November 28th, 2023. Mr. Zomer's on the board. Music is ripe. Literally, right?
Is Flipside by Ripe.
By Ripe. By request.
Courtesy of Luke Mathers.
By request of our afternoon guest every Tuesday. It is Tuesday Tangents with our executive producer of Civic Media, our very own all-knowing guru of everything,
no.
Luke Mathers.
No. How do I get rid of these titles? All-knowing? What? No.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I need catchy music like that. I like the horn section in that song. It's been stuck in my head because if I don't listen to something like that, Sam here in the office can share. I go around whistling the songs that everybody else seems to be playing already, the Christmas music songs. So yesterday morning, I had Christmas music stuck in the head. So really? I've been trying to make sure that it doesn't get stuck in my head.
Are you anti-Christmas?
No, I'm not anti-Christmas, but I don't want to be the guy that gets yelled at for whistling the Christmas tunes around the office too soon, which some could argue it's a little too soon for it. December 1st, you know, first week of December, I think that's usually a good time.
I mean, now that you go into, you know...
We're in the gray zone right now, post-Thanksgiving, not yet December, so this is a weird time for some people. Some people think it's way too soon. Some people think they've been listening to it since Halloween ended.
I personally think that this time is okay. However, if you have one or two songs and that's all you whistle the whole season, it doesn't matter when you start. You can't do it.
You have a big repertoire. But I think because like Walmarts and Targets, you start seeing Christmas stuff now before Halloween.
Pretty much after Labor Day. Right. Yeah, Labor Day wraps up. They put the back to school displays away and the Christmas ones are there scattered with.
And so I feel like by now it's like, well, now I feel good about it.
Well, and it helps when you get some snow on the ground and stuff like that. That definitely gets people in the spirit a little bit early. But I don't want to upset anybody. Therefore, I'm trying not to whistle it. So therefore, I'm listening.
You are a peacemaker. You should be over in Israel negotiating peace deals. Oh, you're that good. Luke Mathers, the peacemaker. Maybe they could use you up at the state capitol right now. I want to finish up with a story, Lukester, and get your opinion on this.
Okay.
From WisPolitics, the current MAGA party introducing Senate Bill 597, which will require school boards to implement policies in which parents or guardians of a student under the age of 16 are identified automatically about each document or material checked out from the library within 24 hours. Its companion bill, SB 598, would impose a similar requirement for libraries, or public libraries, rather, in towns and villages. Republican State Representative Barbara Dietrich, a co-sponsor of the bill, says some have raised concerns about public libraries in Wisconsin that currently don't have the means to implement such a system. Really? The Economowoc Republican said the push on the legislation now is meant to raise awareness of options parents have at some libraries to request information about what materials their kids are checking out and using. She said there could be a push to put money in the next state budget to help smaller libraries that currently don't have that capability. We all know the legislature sometimes is kind of like, you know, letters to Santa Claus. Ask for it next year. And then next year, maybe it doesn't come. Anyway, let's go to the text line before we get Luke's take on this. Off the text line, remember, you could text us on the Civic Media app if you don't have it. Now is a great time to do it on your Apple or Android device. Go to your app store, search for Civic Media, I can spell Civic, C-I-V-I-C. C-I-V-I-C, that's what it is. It'll pop up, little CM logo. It takes less than a minute. It is free. The Civic Media app. Off the text line from Andrew in Verona says, quote, watch out. Don't tell the Wisconsin GOP about the little free libraries.
I have one right on my street.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. There's one right down the road from, I think, like, literally my neighbor. It's really? Either one or two houses down on my street.
Right.
One of those little free libraries. I think they're great.
I think they're great. They look like oversized birdhouses. And there's book, you know, like
bird mansions.
You give a book. All right, bird mansion. you give a book, take a book.
Yeah,
they're fantastic. Also from Jack in Merrimack, listening on the Shaw WAUK, says, quote, oh, good grief. This library stuff is just another thing to stress out educational and library systems. Since parents can already request this information, it's a waste of more of our legislators' time addressing a non-problem. Once again, the purpose are obvious, to continue inciting their cult with ever more fear, anger, and hatred, and to intimidate, especially youth, from educating themselves and learning about people, places, and things their parents fear to talk about for whatever reason. As Trump already stated, Republicans, quote, love the poorly educated, unquote, because they accept misinformation with no questions. Luke Mathers, what say you?
I tend to agree with Jack from Merrimack on this one. This feels very much like a solution in search of a problem. Like, if kids want to check these out from a public library, or if they want to read that, like, as soon as you put a hurdle in front of telling kids that they can't read these things, there's other ways for them to go. The internet exists. I don't know if anybody wants to tell Wisconsin Republican lawmakers, but, like, if there is no absence, there's no bill that you can put out there that is automatically going to make what I guess some people would think is a hard discussion to have with their kid. Like, I honestly don't get why the parent needs the notification. Like, they're going to see the kid reading the book around the house, or they're going to see the kid reading the book. Yeah. Like, if the child wants to read the book, they can pull it up on a web browser in most instances.
Right. Mr. Zomers and I talked about this over the break, that essentially what you're saying in this bill is you don't trust school districts, school librarians, public libraries, city or village library boards to the content to which they put on the shelf.
And you don't trust your kids.
Right.
Or you don't have conversations with your kids about what they're reading or why they want to read it.
Right.
Because there's no piece of legislation that would change that aspect of parenting. Mm. Like, if you, as a parent, are concerned about what your kid is reading, that's not the job of the school district, the public library, or anybody to have a conversation with them about it.
Right.
That's your role as a parent. And yes, it may be a very difficult role, and you may be uncomfortable as a parent, but that is not something that you can go and legislate away. And to think that this is the because most of the time it is LGBT related content. That is looking. They're not cracking down on other things out of these school libraries. It is pro LGBT and accepting literature that could be used for information or for entertainment. And there are lawmakers that are uncomfortable with that content being out there. And rather than figuring out how to have a conversation with a child that wants to read that content, they're trying to legislate their problems away. And that's not the role of the Wisconsin legislature.
You know what my parents did? They wanted to know what I or my sisters were reading. So they asked us and we told them. And sometimes they'd be like, that seems a little maybe age inappropriate. Can I read it? And so we'd be like, okay, sure. And when we went to bed and they're staying up, they'd read a little bit of it and then be like, yeah, that's fine. Okay.
And they enjoyed it, as it turned out. And you're right. I think a lot of it, what the hubbub is around LGBTQ books or information. I also think there is somewhat for young girls. I mean, I remember my sister reading the Judy Blume book, Hey God, It's Me, Margaret, which is a coming of age book for a girl going through puberty and menstruation, all those things.
And if she didn't read that book, she wouldn't have done that, right?
right?
If you don't read about them, then, you know, they just halt, right? It prevents all of those difficult conversations and aspects of life. No, it doesn't. And so it's a silly thing to spend focus on. And it's quite upsetting as somebody that wishes, like, we have serious problems our state needs to address. Right. We have a looming workforce shortage that by the end of this decade, by 2023, we are going to be more than 130,000 jobs shy. Mm-hmm. We are seeing reports after reports after reports, and our Republican lawmakers who are in charge of running things at the Wisconsin legislature are more focused on issues like this, like libraries, than solving the state's actual problems.
Talking with Luke Mathers, our executive producer here at Civic Media, it is Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Be happy to have you join us, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines. Jesse in Madison. Jesse, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I think you guys really nailed it on the head. It's about trying to avoid uncomfortable conversations with your children. And as a parent, what I don't understand, I've got a young teenager. I can't fathom why any parent, especially the ones that are organizing to get these books pulled from shelves, and it's not just LGBTQ books, it and trans books, it's also like books about racial inequality, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you've got a different opinion than I might as a parent about what to talk to your kids about, that A, you're never going to shelter your kids from everything once they leave the house. And B, wouldn't you want to have the conversation while they're still under your roof, no matter what your views or values are? Like, I mean, that's your time. If you think that book is sending the wrong message, that's the time to effectively talk to your kid about it, to instill whatever your values are. Why on earth wouldn't you want to have that conversation, as creepy as it might make you feel, unless you're really just trying to abdicate your responsibility as a parent?
Yeah. Great points, Jesse. I really appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Appreciate particularly being a parent and calling in. Thank you so much. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Brian in Maguanago. Brian, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am not a parent, but I have an interesting take that actually just kind of occurred to me, and I'm going to take a risk and give these Wisconsin Republicans credit for being deep thinkers.
How
and
so?
That is,
how
what
so?
What if this isn't even has really to do about kids reading books, because they already got all their stupid book bans going that they're trying to do? What if this is just either a distraction to just keep us talking about, you know, them doing more stupid stuff? Because this is just so blatantly obvious like, you know, someone said, a solution looking for a problem, or just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious that this is just silly. But
to Luke's,
the other thing, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, to Luke's point earlier, he was just saying all these other things that Wisconsin faces, to your point, and I think you might have something there. Just it's a little side fire to keep us interested while the house is burning.
That, nor just a slight, you know, 1% possibility that it's part of a larger game.
Right.
And in all truth, it almost seems like, you know, it's like they're trying to just, they got something else, like they're sneaking, trying to sneak by somewhere along the way.
Right.
Because anything that they do, they're never on the up and up. That's all that stands out to me.
Appreciate it, Brian. Thanks so much, Brian McGuanago. Thanks for calling in. Let's go up to Eau Claire, listening up there on the tap, WCFW, up in beautiful Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley. Gene in Eau Claire, thanks for listening, my friend. What say you?
Hi, guys. Outstanding show as usual. And Luke, I have to comment you on your outstanding comments regarding parenting. That was perfect. And, you know, if you need the library, you know, to police your children, then a person needs to take parenting classes. They don't need to go to, you know, and waste the time of our government officials. But, hey, great job there. You can work in parenting classes, Luke. Thanks, guys. Have
Thanks,
a good day.
Judy. Thank you, Gene. Appreciate it. See, Luke's already a dog dad. We'll talk about that in a minute. He's gonna, if he so chooses, he and his lovely wife, you are going to make a great parent. I truly believe that. Gene's absolutely right. Let's go quickly to Mary in Wauwatosa. Mary, just about a minute left, but it's all yours. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for this discussion. I'd like to share the opinion of a professional that relates to this. And the question to the professional was, how can I help my child to grow up? The psychiatrist said, let them experience. Now, this is well before the, you know, cyber days, screen days, and now they're probably doing too much of just observing others, you know, experiencing. But, you know, I always valued this this doctor's opinion. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Mary. I think that's a great point, Mary Wauwatosa. I appreciate you listening. Experience is the best teacher, Luke. And if you don't experience life, you don't learn.
Yeah. I mean, having the space to be able to grow is to try things, to fail at things, to read things, to learn. All of that is part of the human experience. And to act like problems get addressed by saying, okay, you're going to get a notification every single time your kid checks out a book now, and boom, the world's problems are solved.
My friend John Sharples is fond of saying that education is what you get when you don't get what you want. And boy, if I have a life of education. Coming back with more Luke on the other side, including the NBA in-season tournament? What up with that? More after this.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, it's Amanda. And a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is that they're so easy for the holidays. They're warm and flavorful. It's always a crowd pleaser. When I put down a nugget tray, everyone is happy.
Hey, this is Brian, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is the joy that it brings to me and everybody around me during the holidays. They're warm, juicy, and delicious.
Cater the holidays with Chick-fil-A today. Available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Time out.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
On the Civic Media Radio Network, it is the Todd Allball Show. Always a party whenever Luke Mathers is here with us on a Tuesday Tangents with our one and only Luke Mathers. 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Just want to button up this subject we've been talking about for the last half hour or so. This bill in the Wisconsin State Legislature that would require public libraries and school libraries to notify parents of kids under the age of 16 within 24 hours of anything that they check out at the library. From Mark in the Sack off the text line, WMDX here in Madison, he says, though it is dated now, my folks had back in 1972 when I was 14, a copy of Dr. David Rubin's book called Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex, But Were Afraid to Ask. Some of it was, as we know by now, but it engaged frankly on issues and human sexuality. I mean, I can relate to that. I mean, my parents were divorced. I never had, quote unquote, the talk with my dad. And I think my mom was pretty open about stuff, quite frankly. But I remember, you know, as I was about to go through or went through puberty, she gave me, I can't remember the name of it, but it was some sort of a green book. I remember it was green. And it was very like medical in terms of like images and whatever. And it talked about both boys and girls going through puberty.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, natural urges that, you know, you get and things like that, and what you do about it, and it's all natural, and it talks about your body. But to your point, to the caller's point, if we don't talk about these things, if our kids don't have any way to learn about it, human nature is going to take over, and isn't it better that you do it in some sort of a controlled or responsible setting rather than going to the internet or something like that where heaven knows what is going
to
happen?
Yeah. And so to think that legislating away libraries to put a stop or hold or notification, whatever it would be, to kind of simulate those conversations or be the gatekeepers of those conversations rather than just families is just it's silly to me, I guess. And that's the way that I view it. It's just kind of a silly aspect.
Mr. Perry, Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor and friend on the Facebook line there, Mr. Zomers, I believe we can put that up. Mr. Perry says, quote, this is a ridiculous proposal. And let me guess, there would be no provision in the bill to fund this process. Insane. And he's absolutely right. That's what this Representative Barb Dietrich of Oconomowoc is saying, Republican. And again, it's just rich, Luke, that Republicans who were always talking about in my day when I was Republican, no unfunded mandates. The people, the liberals in Madison are always giving us unfunded mandates out here in the hinterlands. What are Republicans or MAGA folks doing today? The leadership of the MAGA party putting unfunded mandates on rural Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's the opposite of small government forcing something like this, a program like this. And it's just the other aspect, it's silly because it's going to get vetoed.
Right?
It's not going to go anywhere. It's just something for a lot of hot air to talk about rather than the actual problems that the state faces and the issues that Wisconsinites want to see solved here in Madison that affect all corners of the state. And so, yeah, it's a silly proposal. It's a lot of hot air. And for whatever reason, it is the choice of fuel for anger or whatever you want to, yeah, whatever you want to refer to this outcome of us spending this much time talking about it is it's that fuel.
Well, let's talk about something more important. And that is Bucks basketball, which you can hear on select civic media stations across the network.
Several
God, I hope that one of your stations has been selected, as David Letterman used to say about movies, not sports. But anyway, Luke brought this up last week on Tuesday Tangents. I just let it go because I wasn't going to get into it. I wasn't going to admit my stupidity, but I hear this more and more. Luke, you mentioned that the Bucks are doing well in the in-season tournament. Now, in my experience, the NBA tournament doesn't start until the grass starts getting green, and it goes into whatever, June or July. Apparently now, they want to take some of the viewership, listenership away from college basketball and football and say, we got to grab on to people. So we're going to create this goofy thing in the fall. Like, what's going on?
It's not stupidity. This is the first time that they're doing it. So it takes a little while for everybody to get on the same page of what it means. So you're not stupid for not quite understanding. I didn't grasp it at first either. But the in-season tournament for the NBA is essentially trying to get a focus, and maybe it is in part trying to steal some viewership from some of the other sports that are normally really popular this time of year.
Because right now, every game in college football matters. We have the conference playoffs. You know, these big
next couple weeks, though, there's no bowl games or anything.
No, but the conference playoffs this weekend.
After this weekend, then it's
done. But look, they got the big game of college basketball, Marquette and Wisconsin coming up on Saturday. Anyway, we digress. NBA.
So to put a focus on making sure that the NBA teams value the regular season more, this in-season tournament, which a lot of like soccer leagues use in Europe, and it's something that sports have used to try to make regular season games count more. So the athletes, because the NBA, like you said, long season. Like, we're not talking about the NBA playoffs until April, May, and June next year. But to make the regular season games at the beginning of the season matter a little bit more, these players have been incentivized. There's 30 teams in the NBA.
Yes.
So divided into six groups of five. Every team plays against the other team in their group of five for a four-game matchup. And so of your record after those four games that you play amongst your group, which are just regular season scheduled games, they're not playoff games or anything like that. Everybody's doing them. They're on the schedule. The winners of all of those groups advance to the single elimination tournament. So you get six teams out of that, but you need eight teams to round out a nice knockout bracket. So there will be two wild cards. The Bucks have won all three of their in-season tournament matchups so far. They're 3-0. They're the only team in the East Group B, which they're in, to have that 3-0 record. And so if they win against the Boston Celtics. If they win against the Miami Heat tonight, they are automatically their group winner, and they're going to advance to the knockout round of this in-season tournament, which is going to be held in Vegas, not this weekend, but the following weekend. And if every player on the team that wins this in-season tournament earns $500,000.
Oh, so there's money involved. See, now you've this is fantastic because now I understand. Number one, there's money involved, so it makes them play harder. Number two, it's based on soccer. I appreciate soccer. I just don't understand it.
No, there's just very long seasons for some of these sports. Come on, the most popular sport in the world, and you don't understand it?
Well, I understand the game. What I don't understand is after the Super Bowl, you take a break. People aren't playing football, American football, the next 2 weeks after. You win the
World. They are now. There's XFL. There's other things.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem. You understand? And in European football, soccer, you got the World Cup, and then a week later, we're playing in the new league. It don't make no sense. Yep. No sense at all.
Well, sports are a lucrative industry, so you know everybody wants to keep playing and get those viewership.
I know. Luke Mathers always makes sense. I appreciate bringing a youthful, smart brain to this broadcast. Luke Mathers, executive producer at Civic Media. Great to have you on Tuesday Tangents, my friend.
Absolutely, Todd. Glad to join you.
Stay tuned. Hour number two is straight away. What's worse and more? Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbowl Show and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.